Good morning, Lighthouse. How are we doing today? Good? Good morning, church. My name is Stephen Denny, and I serve here as head of school over Lighthouse Christian. For those of you that may not be aware, Lighthouse Christian School is a ministry of this church. We presently have about 415 students and about 55 staff members or so. And we moved here in April of last year to take this role and to serve in that capacity, and have just really enjoyed and been blessed by what God is doing in the life of our school. Pastor Greg asked me to step in today. I'm not him, just to be clear. And it's an honor to be here. And I realized that we were kicking off the first Sunday of the new year. That was kind of exciting, kind of cool. But then I was also somewhat disappointed, because I love Greg's teaching so much that I'd love to be listening to him today. So anyway, you're stuck with me, so we're just going to give it our best shot and do the best that we can, and let the Lord do his thing, and then hopefully Greg will allow me to come back at some point. I have a passion for empowering and equipping others according to their calling and their purpose. And that really drives everything that we do as a school. I've been in Christian education all my life, and for 20 plus years, athletic administration. A decade of that, I've been a high school basketball coach, varsity basketball coach for both high school girls and high school boys. And while we want academics and the arts and athletics all to elevate simultaneously, not exclusive of each other, I certainly have a passion for athletics and for the role that it plays in the way sports can minister to people. That's something that's just been a passion for the last 20 years. I remember when I first met Becca, my wife, she said, we met on a blind date, and she said, you know, I was kind of thinking I was going to marry a pastor. I said, well, that's me. I'm a pastor. I just use a ball. So then I had to spend some time convincing her that was true, and so she wasn't losing out by marrying me. But that's the way I feel, that we could just use sports, we can use a ball to minister, and so many things can be learned in our faith journey and walking with Christ. But athletics, obviously a passion of mine, and you met my son on the announcement here, my oldest one. He's the one keeping me on track today. And then I've got two other guys back here that have fallen in love with the game of basketball, and I enjoy watching Micah and Thad increase their knowledge of the game and learn about it. And honestly, I attribute a lot of that to PlayStation and Xbox, because I think just getting to play, they learn all about the players and the NBA, and you know, drive some of our conversation. They track those guys in real life and how they're doing, and so it's been fun to kind of to watch them come along and learn about the game. The other day I was talking with Thad, and we were talking about the glory days a little bit, and he was asking me about some of the former players, and we landed on the 1992 USA Dream Team. Anybody familiar with those guys? Right there. I mean, we got Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson. Any Jazz fans in here? See the mailman, right? We've got John Stockton. We've got some studs back up in there, right? Patrick Ewing, Pippen, Clyde the Glide up front. They didn't get to watch them play. So we had a moment there where I got to kind of relive those glory days and a chance to look at that. Of course, then you have the debate of Michael Jordan or LeBron James, you know, who's the greatest? And to me, there's no question. You know, standing at 6'6 from the University of North Carolina, number 23, Michael, you know, that's the one. I mean, there is no comparison, right? There is no comparison. Michael Jordan's the greatest, but they didn't get a chance to watch him. Today, just with my passion for sports, we're going to kind of take a sports theme as we take on the year 2022. Then you got this player right here. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of him. Steph? Heard of Steph Curry? Just a little bit. He just broke the three-point record. Holds that now for the NBA. My claim to fame is I coached against Steph and his brother Seth back in high school. We ended up beating them one time. And that is, like I said, my claim to fame. But you look at these talented players, and yeah, they have God-given talents, but you think about the amount of preparation that they put into honing those talents to seeing that elevate. One thing that they do, and this is kind of in line with the message today, is they study their opponent. They watch film. They study the guy that's going to be guarding them, that they're going to be guarding. They look for tendencies. Right hand, left hand. Are they quicker if they drop left, if they drop right? How do they defend ball screens? Where are their tendencies on the floor? Where do they like to shoot from? Who do they like to pass to? What's that primary move? If you watch Steph, he's got a primary crossover, but as soon as he goes behind his back, he's creating space. They're watching those. They're looking for those weaknesses so that they can capitalize and exploit. Take advantage of the weakness of their opponent. That's what we're going to talk about today, because 1 Peter 5:8 tells us that Satan, he's on the prowl. He's on the prowl. And as we take on 2022, you better believe he's coming after us. It's like a lion seeking to devour. And I love watching our lighthouse lions. I love it when they get aggressive and they're ready to, you know, high energy and take on their opponent. That whole who's next mentality. Let's go. We got you. And that's what Satan's doing. He's on the prowl. He's roaming, looking for a chance to devour, to prey on our weakness. Looking around, who's next? I want to share a story with you of one of my favorite basketball coaching stories. I was coaching high school girls. It was in Elizabethton, Tennessee. It's in the upper east corner. And when you go to Elizabethton, Tennessee, it's kind of remote and rural. And if you don't have anything to do, you go play basketball. And so everybody plays basketball. And everybody's good at basketball. And when you walk into Elizabethton, it seats 2,000 to 3,000. But when you walk in, it kind of had that old gym feel to it, that aura, if you will. And it kind of reminded me of that gym, but bigger, which you get bonus points if you can name that movie today. Hoosiers, there it is. Who got it? Bonus points, there you go. Yeah, it just kind of had that feel like... And they were just going to come at you. They'd been shooting in there all year long. They're ready to go. I can remember at halftime sitting in the locker room with our girls. I said, okay, listen. They're not going to keep shooting this way. Stick to the game plan. Well, they kept shooting that way. And after 16 threes, they had more points from the three-point line than we had as a team. And they ended up beating us by 35, 40 points. We ended up, embarrassed, totally embarrassed. Get on the bus, let's go home. I don't even want to talk to you, you know, that kind of thing. And then we had a pretty good year. We ended up winning our district. They had a pretty good year. They ended up winning their district. They were number one in the state and undefeated. Then the last regular season game is our senior night. We had a cancer awareness, a get pinked blowout event. And guess who was on our schedule for that game? Terrible scheduling. Terrible scheduling. So what did we do? We broke down film. We went and looked at every little detail of each player, how they perform, their weaknesses. We looked strategically as a team. How are they playing us defensively? How are they attacking us offensively? And what can we do to create advantage? And honestly, we completely shifted everything, kind of put in a whole counterintuitive concept to attack them in such a way to where we were seeking after their weaknesses, that we could exploit their weakness. Offensively, they were very aggressive, so we put in a different offense to attack them. And I won't get into all the basketball lingo, but we tried everything that we could, analyzing their weaknesses to create an advantage. It allowed our players to really step up and perform really well. We ended up having an eighth grade point guard who scored 18 of our 32 points in the fourth quarter, and we won by three that night. Of course, that was a celebratory night. We were excited about all that. But it was because we had to work hard to identify their weaknesses. If we're watching game film, if you're watching your life film, here's the question for today. What's your weakness? What's your weakness? What is Satan on the prowl looking to exploit, looking to devour as you embark on a new year? We're going to revisit that in a little bit. But I want to read our passage for today, Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Let's read that together. Here we go. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you should not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just invite your Holy Spirit into this place. Father, as we talk about this year in 2022 and what you have in store for us, prepare our hearts and mind now to understand where Satan's coming after us, that we may give that to you, that we may surrender that to you. And we just invite you into this place to be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we gear up for 2022, I want to walk through a scouting report and taking that on. When we do a scouting report, there's a couple key background and characteristics that are important that we walk through, and I want to walk through those real quickly. First of all, Jesus is led by the Spirit. We see that right here. He wasn't hog-tied and dragged into the wilderness. He wasn't forced into that. God's in control. God knew what was happening. He was led. He was led by the Spirit. A lot of times we feel like that wilderness experience is a place of isolation, desperation, and really where, God, where are you? We feel like we're out of control a lot of times. But truth be told, that the wilderness is often that prepping ground. When we're in that wilderness and we feel in that state, then God's got something for us on the other side of that. He's just prepping us for that. And this is the start of Jesus' ministry here. The second thing is the fact that, and Greg mentioned this in his sermons, that Jesus is 100% God and 100% man, not 50-50, but 100-100. So through this experience, we see that he can relate to us, he can empathize with us, because he's experienced the temptation, but yet he didn't sin. And there's that 100% God piece that we'll revisit in a minute. And then the next piece of the background is watch for threes. So if you hadn't figured out this whole metaphor yet, when you're coaching basketball, playing basketball, you always want to know where your three-point shooters are. You always want to know where they are so you can defend them. So the background here is watch for threes. Three is used in Scripture 467 times as a reference. And we've read those. We maybe skip over them a little bit, but a cord of three strands. The third day, Peter denied Jesus three times. Peter was asked a question of restoration three times. The Trinity, holy, holy, holy. Point is when Jesus does something or says something three times, pay attention. Pay attention. So watch for threes. And the Hebrew meaning of it is harmony, new life, and completeness, which has a parallel to the number seven. But we see here in this passage, Jesus didn't just overcome temptation once or twice, but three times, and then he said, be gone. It kind of reminds me of my parenting. So, you know, when our little guy comes up and he says, hey, I would like to do this, or can I have that? And you're like, no, you're not going to do that. Can't have that. And then he comes back, like, please, I really want this. Can you do that? And like, starting to get annoyed. Okay, I'm not going to do that. Nope, and the answer is no. I said it once. And then he comes back for the third time. All right, please, I really did it. Go see your mom. Go ask her. Right? That never happens. So that's the background. I want to present today, again, as we take on 2022, three tips for victory as we walk into this new year. Tip number one, be on guard. Satan attacks our weakness. Jesus has just been baptized. Now he's tempted and he's tested by Satan in the desert after 40 days of fasting. He was hungry. He was hungry. It says it. He was hungry. Satan knows exactly when and where we're weak. I have a little bit of an infatuation with Navy SEALs. And I may or may not know somebody who may be or may not be a Navy SEAL. I can't tell you, okay? But I love reading about them and watching in those movies and just kind of in awe of the work that they've put in and that they go through and the things that they do behind the scenes for our country. I was reading a story, because I just really can't think of a group that's much tougher. This David Goggins is a retired Navy SEAL chief, believed to be the only member of the armed forces to complete basic underwater demolition SEAL course, or BUDS, U.S. Army Ranger School, and Air Force Tactical Air Controller training. Listen to this guy right here. He has completed more than 60 ultramarathons, and those can include each up to 100 miles of running. He holds a Guinness record for pull-ups, 4,030 in 17 hours. This dude's a stud. You know what his weakness is? Water. You think Navy, SEAL, water. It kind of goes hand in hand, right? He didn't like the water training. Couldn't take the water training. It just so happened that when he was in that training that he discovered he had a blood disease and he could opt out, so he did. He quit. That's when he started with the Air Force and some of those other things. Long story short, he later watched a show on TV about the SEALs, and it kind of reignited his passion. He had put on a bunch of weight. He had to lose over 100 pounds in 3 months to get back in. He'd already gone through basics, and now he's going back into to BUDS and really to Hell Week. And if you don't know anything about Hell Week, a quick Google search will tell you about it, but it's essentially 5.5 days of cold, wet, brutal training with 4 or fewer hours of sleep. His body was worn down just from losing that much weight in 3 months, and so he was prone to sickness and injury. He ended up failing going through that Hell Week training a couple times. He finally, on his third time, succeeded. Then 9/11 happened and he was shipped out. The point is, though, we all have weaknesses. Even the toughest of the toughest, we have weaknesses. Satan was trying to attack what we would assume to be an obvious human weakness. But Jesus' time in the desert or wilderness fulfilled two purposes for us. Number one, Jesus set an example of how to withstand temptation. We're going to talk about that. And number two, revealed Jesus' ability to go through that temptation, to wrestle through that and overcome it, not sinning. And that goes back to God being, or Jesus being 100% God. For us, we see temptation from three sources. First of all, Satan. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take a stand against the devil's schemes. He's scheming. This isn't a passive approach. When we talk about Satan, the devil, being on the prowl, it's active. It's active. Lucifer, as a fallen angel, is the father of lies, referenced in John 8. He's scheming. The second source of temptation is our sin nature. Paul writes in Romans about our sinful nature, and he says, I have the desire to do good, I just can't. I just can't. He referenced that struggle. And as a result of the fall of man, we are born as sinners, messed up, and full of weaknesses. And then thirdly, the fallen world. 2 Peter references escaping the corruption of this world. And quite frankly, that's what Greg's been walking us through in Revelation. The world is full of evil and ultimately coming to a demonic-filled eventual end, ultimately at the sound of his name, at the name of Jesus. So speaking of his name, we heard on Christmas Eve from Pastor Greg that Jesus is the Word became flesh. What was Jesus' answer when he was tempted? Verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Back to Ephesians 6:11, put on the armor of God so that we can fight the enemy. Ephesians 6:16, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pastor Ron a few weeks ago kind of walked us through that. So as Satan comes at us, and Satan's on the prowl, and Satan's trying to exploit our weakness and tempt us, what's our counter move? The Word of God. The name of Jesus. I got to tell you, we have an elementary student here in our school that has experienced a family member with demonic forces. If you think Satan's not on the prowl, that's a foolish thought. But this 10-year-old quotes scripture in that moment. So impressed by just hearing his story as he came and talked to us about it. Quotes scripture in the midst of that to get through that time. Last night we lost a student here. Tragic event. We lost a student, and I won't go into those details, but Satan is working to steal our joy and making us believe that even though we've been created and designed uniquely by God, it's not good enough. So here's my shameless plug for the school, okay? That's one of the beauties of Christian education, is that we can come around kids like that, families like that, and speak truth and love and share with them the gospel and openly speak the name of Jesus and walk through that hand in hand with them. The full educational experience, but in a Christ-centered environment. But it's real. It's real. And as I was thinking about this, and again, Pastor Ron alluded to the armor of God in his sermon recently, I was just thinking, something strikes me about putting on the armor of God and fully protecting ourselves with the Word of God. In Florida, we lived there from 2014 to 2019. I mean, you could pretty much just roll in your bathing suit and flip-flops every day. I mean, today, we'd be out at the pool, you know? But when we lived in North Carolina, we live in Tennessee, and here, there's this thing called layering, right? There's the art of layering. Anybody? It's cold outside, right? So I was thinking through that layering, and, you know, the first layer is fine, and maybe you put on a second one, and, you know, it's a little snug, and then maybe you put on a pullover sweater like this, and all of a sudden, to get it, you're kind of pushing and tugging and pulling and squirming. You're kind of wrestling with it to get those layers on and to get comfortable. In the South, you're wallering in it a little bit, okay? it just made me think that sometimes, and I'm calling myself out here, that just getting that notification at 7 a.m. from the Bible app that says, here's the verse of the day, isn't good enough. How's that putting on the armor of God? We have to wallow in it a little bit. We have to wrestle in it. We have to open the scripture. We have to dive in. We have to break it apart. We have to cross-reference. We have to dig. Maybe we have to journal. Maybe we talk to somebody, but we got to wrestle in that to put on the armor of God. So what does it really feel like and mean to put on the armor of God? So tip number one, as we engage in 2022, we take it on, is be on guard. Be on guard, because Satan's coming after us. Satan's on the prowl. Tip number two is tune the tude. The wilderness experience, and I alluded to this, is Jesus' prepping ground. He just came from baptism, and this is the preparation time for the mission that he has been entrusted with. A lot of times we see that wilderness as a punishment of sorts, but the wilderness is getting us ready for what God is leading us into. We're going to watch a clip here from a classic movie, and it's about leadership. It's two young men, two high school guys that are kind of battling desegregation on a football team. But what comes out of this is the key that we're going to build on. So let's watch that.
All right, man, listen. I'm Gary. You're Julius. Let's get some particulars and just get this over with, all right?
Particulars?
Yeah.
No matter what I tell you, you ain't going to never know nothing about
hey,
me.
Hey, listen. I ain't running any more of these 3 days, okay?
Well, what I got to say, you really don't want to hear, because honesty ain't too high upon your people priority list, right?
Honesty? You want honesty? All right, honestly, I think you're nothing. Nothing but a pure waste of God-given talent. You don't listen to nobody, man. Not even Doc or Boone. Ship or push on the line every time, man. You blow right past them. Push them. Pull them. Do something. You can't run over everybody in this league. And every time you do, you leave one of your teammates hanging out to dry. Me in particular.
Why should I give a hoot about you? Huh? Or anybody else out there? You want to talk about a waste? You the captain, right?
Right.
Captain's supposed to be the leader, right?
Right.
You got a job?
I have a
you
job.
You been doing your job?
I've been doing my job.
Then why don't you tell your white buddies to block for Red better? Because they have not blocked for him or for Plug Nickel, and you know it. Nobody plays. Yourself included. I'm supposed to wear myself out for the team? What team? No. No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look out for myself, and I'm going to get mine.
See, man, that's the worst attitude I ever heard.
Attitude reflects leadership, Captain.
Attitude reflects leadership, Captain. Who's the greatest coach of all time? We just lost John Madden, a legend, this week. I just put together a little list, see if you resonate with any of these. Coach K, Lombardi, Dean Smith. Anybody heard of Pat Summitt? It's back in our Tennessee roots there. Tony La Russa, Pete Carroll. We got any Pete Carroll fans over here on this side of the country? None? Nobody likes the Seahawks? Jim Balvano, Steve Kerr, Joe Gibbs, all these legends. Pat Riley, Phil Jackson, John Wooden, Bear Bryant, Nick Saban, Joe Torre. Anybody ever heard of Connie Mack? Connie Mack led the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Philadelphia Athletics. The Philadelphia Athletics was the origin of the Oakland A's. We got any Oakland A's fans in here? Oh, up front. He's the all-time leader in Major League Baseball wins and losses. How about that stat? How about that stat? Wins and losses. He leads both categories, strengths and weaknesses. Who's the greatest leader of all time? If our attitude reflects leadership, how did Jesus lead? Because he's the greatest leader. How did he lead? Matthew 20, 26 through 28, Jesus is coaching his disciples how to respond and lead, saying in verse 26, whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Last week, Pastor Greg, we heard him talk and walk us through Philippians 2, talking about how Jesus took on the nature of a servant and humbled himself even to the point of death, and not just death, but death on a cross. Is our attitude one of service? Because attitude reflects leadership. I tell our students that we all have the ability to lead. I do believe that everybody possesses that capability of leading, because leadership is influence. The question is what type of influence? But here again, it's not passive, it's active. In our school, as we talk about culture development, it doesn't matter, and same for the church, it doesn't matter what your title is or what your position is. We're supposed to serve one another. Again, it's active. When we serve, it opens doors to more authentic and meaningful relationships. Because now we've established a service relationship, and it just opens that door. Which leads us to our third tip for 2022. So the first one, be on guard. The second one, tune the tune. And then tip number three, lock arms. Lock arms. Verse 11, and angels came and attended to him. And one translation says, and minister to him. So as we see Jesus rebuke Satan for that third time and says, be gone, the angels came to support him. We're not intended to go alone. We're not intended to be on this journey alone. Anybody ever watch March Madness? NCAA tournament? I love watching all those games. Maybe filling out the bracket, going through all that. What do you see on the bench a lot of times? You ever watch the bench of those players? I mean, you got guys that they're not ever going to get on the court. They're certainly not going to be the ones on the court taking the last shot trying to win the game. But they're engaged. They've locked arms. You ever see that? They're sitting on the bench. They're leaning in. They're locking arms with each other. Yeah? Y'all see that? Just me? Yeah, we've seen that, right? They're engaged. They're in it. Together, united. We talked about last week, Greg went through Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, but I love the first part of that. And really, Philippians 2, 1 through 8 kind of become a career verse for me. Last 12, 13 years, something that has really meant a lot to me. The first half of that, I want to read that to you. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation or fellowship in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. And Greg told us last week that same mind, being one in Christ, but also not being haughty or wise in our own eyes, but relating to one another from a position of humility. It kind of goes back to that service. And there's a definition of humility that I've used for a long time. I love it. I love continuing using that. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but just thinking of yourself less. When we visited Lighthouse, this is almost a year ago, came out for an interview in February of way back last year. And there was some stuff going on. There was some stuff within the leadership, and we knew that. But it didn't overshadow what we sensed to be the presence of the Holy Spirit. We just felt like the Holy Spirit resided in this place. And that's from our pastors and their spouses, our trustees on the school side, trustees on the church side. And by the way, our pastors are amazing. If you ever have the opportunity to just let them know how much you appreciate them and their spouse, please take that opportunity to do that. It's a lot of work, a lot of energy, a lot of effort that goes into leading a church. But we just got that sense from them and again, all the trustees that this is where the Holy Spirit was, and that's something that we could lock arms with. But what does that look like? What does that look like? Well, first of all, I'm just going to say it. It means being here, not watching on TV, right? Those guys locking arms, they're on the bench. They're right there. They're in the game. They may not be on the court, but they're there. They're engaged. They're locked in. They're not sitting at home. Wonder how many people sit in their living room locking arms. Probably doesn't happen. Maybe a few diehards. Get off the sideline. Be present. There's a lot of empty seats. 2022 could be the most productive year yet for the kingdom of God. We've got to tell people about it. Here again, it's active. It's not passive. If we're going to lock arms, if we're going to be unified, not just as Lighthouse Church, but as the church, we got to get people in here. This place ought to be packed every week. But it's not going to be packed every week if we just show up ourselves. We got to tell people. We got to get them in here. What about engaging in our community here? Serving, finding a way to plug in, to help out. I guarantee you, if you go to one of our pastors and say, hey, I would really like to serve, you will not walk away without some opportunity or option. They're going to give it because there's a need. But again, it's not passive, it's active. And we got to lock arms in unity to do that. And as I said, we're not intended to go through this journey alone. Maybe on an individual and on a personal level, you've got to find somebody to walk in that journey with you, somebody to hold you accountable to that, somebody that you can talk about your weakness, that you can talk about where Satan is attacking. You can lock arms with that person and be vulnerable with that person, and they can hold you accountable. That's what it means to lock arms. That's what it looks like. And when we lock arms, we see the result, the resulting work of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what's evident when we lock arms, when we do that. Be on guard. Tune the tune and lock arms. So what? What does this mean? What do we do? What's our takeaway? John 10:10 reminds us that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus comes to bring us life. Be on guard. Put on the full armor. Waller in his word. Don't just accept the app. Dive in. So that we can then take on the attitude of our leader. That service-oriented approach. That servant leadership model. And then to see the Spirit surface in our lives, we got to lock arms. We got to come together as a body. We got to be present. Perhaps we got to clear grievances. Maybe there's somebody that you've got to resolve something with. And there's no better time than to start this new year right there so that we can see the fulfillment of what God has for us as a church, as a body of believers, come to fruition. And find someone to hold you accountable. Find someone to hold you accountable. And remember this, 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What's your weakness? If we're looking at our life film, what's our weakness? Where are we prone to attack in 2022? And how are we going to get through that? We're going to lead into a time of communion and worship and submit that to Christ. Well, let's pray. Father God, we're just so grateful. so grateful that you first loved us. Father, that you care about us deeply. And that you want to walk with us in a daily personal relationship. Father, we confess we have so many weaknesses and so many shortcomings, and today we want to think about that and ponder that as we take on this new year, because we want to keep Satan at bay. We want to keep him away from us. And Father, we want to overcome those weaknesses. We want to see you glorified in that weakness. We want to see those weaknesses turn to strengths. So Father, we're trusting you in that. And we're submitting that to you. Father, be with us here now and prepare our hearts and minds as we think through that and as we go to your table and reflect on the work of Jesus on the cross. Thank you for giving us Jesus as an example of just being 100% God, 100% man, and withstanding temptation and doing it perfectly and being that leader for us. May we continue to see that as we reflect on our lives and think about who we need to be. Help us to be on guard. Help us to tune our tude. And help us to lock arms and come together as a church and as a community. In Jesus' name. Hopefully, as you came in and we're going to be a little bit early today, so I want you, if you're taking notes, I want you to write that down, okay? That Steve was done a little bit early. Hopefully when you came in, you grabbed a piece of paper and a pencil. Just as a symbolic action, when you go to the table to reflect and take the broken body and the bloodshed of Jesus Christ, write on that piece of paper that weakness. Maybe the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you and said, this is an area I need you to submit to me, because Satan's on the prowl. He's coming. So let's be on guard. So as you go to the table and you pick up those elements, just, you know, face down. Don't put your name on it. Nobody's going to read it. We don't want to see it, but there's something about writing it down that when you put it there, just submit it to on the altar, on that table. Just commit that to Christ. Submit that weakness to Christ. And as you're kind of thinking through that and preparing for that, there's potentially somebody here today that your weakness is you've never experienced the power of Jesus Christ and being in relationship with Christ. We want to give you that opportunity. We're going to do it a little bit differently, because I remember when this happened for me, that someone asked me to step out of my seat and come forward. And I remember the courage that it took to do that. I remember the challenge that was there that I had to overcome, because people were watching. Ironically, all the people that are watching are celebrating. But as I stepped out, I just felt the rush of the Holy Spirit all over me. Began to cry. There's just power in that movement. So I want to give you that chance. If there's somebody here, like I said, a little bit different, hope I won't get in trouble. But just come right here. Just walk up here. If you haven't experienced that relationship with Christ, but today's the day. Today's the day that you submit that, surrender that, and you want to walk in personal relationship, just get out. Come on. Anybody? It's okay. We don't have to have anybody, but here's your chance. Start 2022. No better time than to start the year in a relationship with Jesus. the rest of us, while we're in relationship, hopefully you're thinking about what you can submit to Christ and how to do that. Write that down. We'll lead into a time of worship and partake of the elements at the table at this time.